Welcome to Cypherpunk Notes, where we explore digital privacy and sovereignty. Not just the how, but the why. Whether you're just starting to question big tech or you're ready to encrypt everything, this is your guide to taking back control of your digital life. In 1993, a mathematician named Eric Hughes wrote 9 words that would define a movement. Cypherpunks write code. Privacy is necessary for an open society. 3 decades later, those words matter more than ever. But what exactly is a cypherpunk, and why should you care? Let's talk about the people who saw surveillance coming and decided to fight back with mathematics. Today, the origin story. Who were the cypherpunks, what did they believe, and what does it mean to carry that torch in 2025? Let's start with the world we live in right now. Your phone tracks your location 24/7. Your email provider reads your messages to sell you ads. Your ISP knows every website you visit. Your smart TV watches you watch it. And most people's response? I have nothing to hide. Here's the thing. Privacy isn't about hiding. Privacy is about power. When you have no privacy, you have no autonomy. Someone else decides what you see, what you're sold, what opportunities you get. Your data becomes a tool for manipulation by advertisers, by governments, by anyone willing to pay. The cypherpunks saw this coming in the 1980s, before smartphones, before social media, before most people had email. They looked at the trajectory of technology and said, "This ends in a surveillance state unless we do something about it." So they did something about it. The cypherpunk movement emerged in the late 1980s and early 1990s, centered around a mailing list of cryptographers, programmers, and privacy advocates in the San Francisco Bay Area. The name itself is a play on words, cipher, meaning a coded message combined with cyberpunk, the science fiction genre about high-tech dystopias. Cypherpunks were essentially saying, "We've read the dystopian novels, we're not going to let that happen." Key figures included Eric Hughes, Timothy C. May, and John Gilmore. These weren't paranoid loners, they were serious technologists who understood where the internet was heading. In 1993, Eric Hughes published a Cypherpunk's Manifesto. It's short, you can read it in 5 minutes, but it's one of the most important documents of the digital age. Here's the core argument. Privacy is necessary for an open society in the electronic age. Think about that. Privacy isn't opposed to openness, it enables it. You can't have free speech if you're afraid of being watched. You can't have free association if every relationship is tracked. You can't have a free society if everyone's behavior is monitored and analyzed. Hughes continues, "We cannot expect governments, corporations, or other large, faceless organizations to grant us privacy out of their beneficence. We must defend our own privacy if we expect to have any." This is the key insight. Privacy is not granted. It's built. It's defended. It requires action. And then the most famous line, "Cypherpunks write code." Not petitions, not protests, code. Mathematics, tools that work regardless of what governments or corporations want. The cypherpunk worldview rests on a few core principles. 1. Cryptography is liberation. Strong encryption is the great equalizer. A teenager with the right tools can secure their communications against nation-state adversaries. Math doesn't care about your budget or your army. 2. Trust math, not institutions. Governments change. Companies get acquired, policies shift, but 2 plus 2 always equals 4, and properly implemented encryption is just math. You can verify it yourself. You don't have to trust anyone's promises. 3. Code is speech. Writing software is an act of expression. Publishing encryption tools is protected speech. This became a legal battleground in the 1990s. And the cypherpunks won. 4. Build. Don't just complain. Complaining about surveillance accomplishes nothing. Building alternatives, encrypted messaging, anonymous networks, private currencies actually changes the game. The cypherpunks weren't just philosophers, they built things. Phil Zimmerman, a cypherpunk, created PGP, Pretty Good Privacy, which is still the foundation of email encryption today. The US government investigated him for exporting munitions because strong crypto was considered a weapon. He won. Cypherpunks contributed to the development of Tor, the anonymous networking protocol used by journalists, activists, and ordinary people worldwide. The cryptocurrency movement, love it or hate it, has direct roots in cypherpunk mailing list discussions about digital cash and financial privacy. Signal, the encrypted messenger used by millions, exists because cypherpunks laid the groundwork for end-to-end encryption to become practical. Every time you see that little lock icon in your browser, you're benefiting from battles the cypherpunks fought and won. So what does it mean to be a cypherpunk in 2025? You don't need to be a cryptographer. You don't need to write code. You don't need to be a hacker in a dark room. Being a cypherpunk today means understanding the stakes. Recognizing that privacy isn't about hiding. It's about maintaining autonomy in a world designed to extract your data, using the tools the cypherpunks built them. Encrypted messaging, password managers, VPNs, Tor full disk encryption. Using these tools is an act of self-defense, making conscious choices. Every app you install, every service you sign up for, every permission you grant, these are decisions with consequences. A cypherpunk thinks before clicking, "I agree," helping others. The cypherpunk mission isn't individual, it's collective. Teaching your family about Signal, helping friends set up password managers, raising awareness about surveillance. This is how the movement spreads. You don't have to go fully off-grid. You don't have to be perfect, but you can start making choices that protect your digital sovereignty, one step at a time. So here's your first step if you're just starting this journey. Build a threat model. Ask yourself three questions. What am I protecting? Messages, location, browsing, finances? Who am I protecting it from? Advertisers, hackers, governments, ex-partners? And what am I willing to do about it? Change apps, change habits, change devices? Your answers don't have to be dramatic. Maybe you just want Google to stop reading your email. Maybe you want your location history to actually be private. Start there. Privacy is a dial, not a switch. You don't flip it all at once. You turn it up, one notch at a time, based on your own threat model. In future episodes, we'll get into the practical how. Setting up encrypted messaging, understanding Tor, choosing a password manager, and more. But it all starts with understanding why this matters. The cypherpunks gave us the philosophy and the tools. Now it's our turn to use them. That's it for today. If you want to go deeper, I recommend reading Eric Hughes's original Cypherpunks Manifesto. It's online and it's free. 9 paragraphs that change the world. Next episode, we tackle the most common excuse for not caring about privacy. I have nothing to hide. We'll break down why that argument falls apart and what's really at stake. Until then, stay private, stay sovereign. This has been Cypherpunk Notes.